This is Alex Peace of EG with Marshams Parsons New Homes team, Rory Kramer, Director of New Homes, Alex Greaves, Director of New Homes, Head of Sales, and Charles Holland, Director of Residential Development and Investment. Chaps, thank you very much for joining me this morning. That's very good of you.
Thank you.
I guess what we're trying to show for the EG listeners is what Marshams Parsons are up to, really. Why you gents have moved over, how you're expanding the team, how you find the London market at the moment, what you see as the opportunities. And where it's all going to go in the next few years, really. I mean, Charles, do you want to start us off with how it all started?
Well, I wish we knew how it's all going to go in the next few years. I joined across from about 4 years ago now. The latent potential of the business is absolutely huge. We've got a 29 office agency network. And what Marsh & Parsons didn't do, unlike many of our competitors, is enter into the new homes business or indeed the land business. So it's quite rare to come into a company that has such a powerful brand and such a powerful presence within London, but doesn't benefit from that. So that's what we're really seeking to capitalise upon.
Mm-hmm. But you started as an estate agent, and now you're moving into the sort of development, land, with the full service offering, basically. When did that strategic decision happen, and what was the reasoning behind it?
Well, MP had tried to do that beforehand, before I arrived, and hadn't really succeeded in doing that. So they got into a position of relatively small-scale development, pubs, shops and upper parts and so forth. But what they hadn't really grasped was the ability to get into the land market at any scale. So bringing me on board, their ambition was to move into that using my background at a slightly larger agency and then translating that into larger land transactions and leveraging off that really positive brand that we have in the front office agency network. Mm-hmm.
So how big was the team before you came on, and how big is it now, roughly speaking?
It was no people before I arrived, so I was on my own with a desk and a telephone, and that was it. And we're now 16 people, so it's been quite good growth over the 4 year period.
Mm-hmm. And you're still, I mean, obviously the London market, you focus exclusively on London?
Exclusively on London, and if we have a specific requirement, then we will go outside of that. London is absolutely our core market, it's our strength. But we've been very successful on the scheme in Watford for a number of clients, for example. So we're able to translate that brand and take it out into areas close to London. So that would be in the home counties. We wouldn't go beyond that at this stage.
Okay, and chaps, you were brought on recently to help expand the new homes and sales teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, who wants to start, really? What do you think your job is, essentially? I suppose it's quite an unfair question when you just started.
Well, I think, firstly, I think it's just sort of highlighting what we felt the opportunity was. And for us, coming from a sort of a larger, very new homes focused agency to effectively an estate agency that's creating a new homes business, the opportunity was really clear. Having a brand that really spoke to consumers and was already really well established, you know, everyone who lives in London, really, most people know of M&P, have dealt with them, have someone who have dealt with them. And that recognition is such a massive asset, particularly when the market is a little bit harder work than it was 18 months ago, which we all know that it is. Having the front office network is absolutely key, and I think a big focus for us is understanding how we really make the relationship between new homes and front office work. And it was really simple things. It's something that me and Alex have kind of really focused on in the first few months. But making sure that our negotiators at front office are paid 100% on exchange, for example, when you have a scheme that might complete a year after. In most new homes businesses, obviously, you get paid 50% on exchange, 50% on completion. And that's a real focus, and that engages our local office negotiators. And I think when we're speaking to developers at the moment, it's often the first question, how do you interact with your front office? And I don't think anyone has really got that right. It's a very difficult thing to do, but we really put that first and foremost at expanding the business.
One of the changing parts of the London sales market has been the increasing focus over the last year on domestic buyers as opposed to international pre-sales. As schemes start to complete more, there's actually a finished product that they can move on to. I mean, is that something you're trying to tap into? Is that something you're trying to concentrate more on? Or do you see there's more potential for it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, if you look at the Marsh & Parsons network and the level of sales as an average we're doing across the estate agency network, it is actually very much focused into that mainstream price point. And, you know, a lot of the deals we are doing as a business, a lot of the properties we're selling are to owner-occupiers, first-time buyers, and British or domestic folk, you know, based purchasers. As a business here, and in terms of a new homes business, we are a lot of, partly to do with some of the transactions that Charles has done from the land side, but also the business we're looking to bring on is very much focused towards those people as well, people that can afford London property through mortgages, and not necessarily, we're basically focusing on our strengths, and we've got an incredible network. We're not a huge international business at the moment, but first-time buyer market's very strong. And if you look at the likes of Royal Docks West, for example, out in East London, we don't have 5-10 offices within a mile of that project, but we are doing a lot of deals still through our wider database, and that's a trend we're really seeing, that the London domestic market is incredibly transient. It's not necessarily as traditionally, you know, people would be very specific on where they want to live, whereas now actually it's much more focused towards product and price, and they're becoming much more flexible in different locations. So we're seeing that actually if we've got affordable product where people can get mortgages, which is obviously at an all-time low, possibly with the help of Help to Buy, which is clearly a big feature at certain price points, we're actually seeing that area of the market's very strong, and our network's beautifully placed to capitalise on that.
You chaps have obviously been brought in with quite a flexible remit, sort of Grover team, in a very challenging new homes and sales market. So what do you see as some of the key trends going forward, and then how do you direct what you're doing almost to address that, that's different to what's been done before?
Well, I think one of the trends from the demand side is that obviously affordability is key, particularly for domestic purchases, and whether you relate that to Help to Buy, which obviously has a cap at a certain value, but also, you know, where the risk profile of sales are for developers. I think a real trend is giving the right advice up front and making sure that you're building to where the demand is. And as you know, I run the development consultancy part of the business, that's definitely something that developers ask, you know, where is your database? What is the demand from your database? And we can very clearly see where the demand is, and that is influencing the advice that we're giving up front for schemes that are selling within the next 18 months. And I think very clearly it's making sure that your units are efficient as possible, and where they are oversized, there's very good reason for them being slightly oversized. Now, by oversized, I mean, you know, you have general size requirements represented by the London Size Guide. You know, when you create a two-bed flat that you're going to live in maybe with a young family, you'll design it very differently to a two-bed flat that appeal to young professionals. So I think it's that level of detail that we can scrutinise with the experience of our database and everything that we're learning from you know, these domestic purchasers that are registering with us to live in these flats and not just buy-to-let investors, etc.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you think what you're doing differs? All three of you have come from larger agencies before joining Marsh & Parsons. How do you think what you're doing now differs from working at the larger agencies or the offerings that larger agencies have?
Well, as we said, we're very focused on the domestic market. I mean, that is a major point of difference, I think. We're making sure that we take advantage of what we've got at our disposal, which is a fantastic front office network with a database that grows every week.
And I think the actual culture within this business, it's, you know, as Rory says, it's a London residential focused business, but this is, you know, the foundations that have been laid for some time are absolutely fantastic, and the way that the whole system operates, you know, we've got a very unique open register database system that all of the business works upon, and it essentially means that one of the sales negotiators within our new homes team here can, within reason and within the rules that we apply, can pick up the phone or contact pretty much anybody across the database and cross-sell our new homes product to the front office network as well as the other way around. And that is unique, and I think it's a challenge that a lot of the bigger agencies, especially once you have international and country departments and other pieces, sometimes don't make the most of. And for us, you know, coming in and seeing this brilliant database, which is actually changing every day and is kept incredibly up to date by a very focused workforce who are incredibly incentivized by commissions, and you know, it's very much a sales focused business, and we ultimately want to achieve the results for our clients, and it all comes back from, you know, how we're going to keep those sales rates where they want to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the, you know, the key tenets of Marsh & Parsons' business is customer service. So it's not only about incredible performance in everything we do, be that sales or lettings or new homes. But it's also really delivering fantastic customer service, which is benchmarked by the awards that the business has won over the course of the last kind of 10 years. But central to that is, you know, what's really important from our clients' perspective is the fact that we have a really strong sales team here, but also that we utilise all of our office network, and they are able to sell all of our products, and they are live to all the information that we have. So we spend a lot of time, Rory and I spend a lot of time engaging with our front office network, the directors in the business, but also the negotiators, making sure that they're aware of all our product and their ability to sell all our product to their customers, to their database, to their active applicants, makes us quite unique. I don't think it's something that genuinely can be said of all of our competitors, that those who have the agency networks relate with them in such a passionate way that we do, and ensure the buy-in that, in fact, that instead of having just the negotiators that we have here in-house, we have our entire company network of negotiators selling our product. I think that is a key differentiator.
So, do you have an overseas sales branch? You don't focus on that at all, you focus solely on walk-in domestic buyers? Walk-in domestic buyers.
We've got as you'd expect, you know, with London overall, it's, you know, it's a very cosmopolitan place. Our database is, you know, we have buyers from all over the world. And we've seen quite a lot of transactions this year from the likes of China. We had two offers over the weekend from American citizens, but we don't have overseas teams. Within our team here, we have a Mandarin fluent speaker who's done plenty of business from that area of the world so far this year. But it's a London-focused business, as things stand.
I mean, that just seems very interesting to me, because it goes against the grain of a lot of what's been happening with pre-sales for new build blocks over the last 4 years, where, I mean, rightly or wrongly, for development finance, you had to pre-sell a lot abroad, so it's an interesting shift in the market.
But I think that's been very true. You know, you look at large-scale launches, and in some cases recently, that's still been true. But then basically, what's really important to our clients is making sure a rate of sale continues over a 2.5 year build period, and that's what our database does, and that's what focusing on domestic purchases does. And I think that, you know, it's all very, we see a sales period as a marathon, not a sprint, and I think that that's where our focus really comes into play, and that's where our clients really see value in us.
And I think a lot more, we're tending to see a lot more of the overseas purchasers are willing and keen to travel to London before committing to a property purchase. You know, there is more stock available, as you said earlier, that is coming to completion. There's slightly less urgency perhaps than there has been in the past due to, you know, certain uncertainties that we're seeing, and they're willing to make the trip over here and make sure they're making the right decision, which is where our brand and London network is perfectly placed to actually pick these, you know, get in touch with these buyers, and they come in and register with the business, and we can then deal with them when they're here.
But that was one of the core appeals for setting up this business 4 years ago when I came on board, was we saw as a business the shift away from a more intensive international sales model to a more domestic sales model. That's helped by things like Help to Buy, but also the recovery of the economy coming out of the financial crisis, so more spending power out of the UK. And there was that shift away with the Merrill Concordia of schemes being launched jointly or simultaneously in the UK, in London, and internationally. And then that saw a shift of international purchasers actually wanted to come over here and secure the opportunities ahead of the markets when they were offered out in international markets. So all of that played to us. But the main thing has been the kind of the re-emergence of the domestic market, the domestic sales market, and the government support through Help to Buy.
What have the majority of your sales been? I mean, what's it's a very leading question, but what do people want, I suppose, when they walk in?
That's a good question. I think going back to Alex's point with it, you know, there's been a big proportion of our buyers are first-time buyers, and a large proportion of them are supported by back of mum and dad. And if you take a sort of typical case study, often first-time buyers have been living in renting in quite expensive areas to buy. So if we were to take a West London example, maybe renting in Fulham or somewhere quite central, and when they're looking at purchasing, actually looking at markets like slightly further out, so maybe Kew or Acton or Ealing or Kensal Rise. And so I think that the where they can find a familiar villagey feel, for want of a better word, or something that's familiar from where they've been living to where they're moving to is key. So getting to know the area and the lifestyle that comes along with that is super important. I think we're in a very unusual time in London where infrastructure is, Crossrail is going to turn London on its head. And I think, occupiers are maybe slightly slower to cotton onto that than investors, because investors are actively looking for these opportunities. I think that's really come to the forefront of people's minds, is infrastructure changes over the next few years, where they're living and where that might give them an opportunity to make money on their home purchase.
Charles, from a land buying perspective, where's hot at the moment?
All of London is always interesting. I think at the moment it's more about pricing aspirations than necessarily where is hot. Clearly, there's a lot of appetite from the PLCs for the areas that are priced between 500 and maybe £850 a square foot. That's driven by the Help to Buy initiative, but so long as land is priced sensibly, there is a really strong demand for it out at the moment. What we've seen probably over the last year and a half is a gradual realignment of vendors' aspirations relative to competing uses. So if you take the central areas of London, 2-3 years ago, there was very, very strong demand for residential-led products in those areas. So the land market was incredibly hot from a residential perspective. But the commercial markets then caught up, and they were then able to compete with the residential markets in central. So there was a move away from that, and particularly with, again, the emergence of the government support that we helped to buy, which we talked about already. Then the outer areas opened up, particularly around key public transport infrastructure and emerging public transport infrastructure. So the demand is still pretty strong, I would say, across London. I think in the very outer reaches it becomes challenging to build above certain heights because of build cost inflation. So that is proving a challenge. In the centre there hasn't been that much activity, but by and large I would say from Zone 2 through to Zone 4 and 5, certainly there's been strong demand across the board.
Great stuff. What's the intention for Marsh & Parsons going forward then?
Well, we're on a growth plan. Our ambition is to place ourselves as a top five agency in terms of residential development services. So we're in a happy place at the moment. We've got a growth story. Our parent company, LSL, has just announced some very positive results. And the business as a whole they're investing in. So we've just opened or announced the opening of our 28th office up in Islington, and we're looking to expand into further territories. So that's a really positive backdrop for this business, because we work so closely with our front offices. That means that we can expand our territories, the area that our database is active in, and that makes us a much more compelling option, I think, for our clients. We want to, as a business for new homes and land, we're looking to obviously build that up over the next 3 to 4 years to secure, say, a top five position within the market. So that's going to involve rapid expansion of the team here, more sites, more staff in the land team, and a build under Rory and Alex.
Well, chaps, what are your priorities gone? What are you going to be doing for the next 6 months, basically?
Well, it's focusing on working with clients and on projects that really work with our network and database. I think that we don't want to promise anything and undeliver. We're at a really great stage of our growth where we want to make sure that in any project we take on, we absolutely hit targets. And that's really about making sure we understand where our strengths are, which we do. And I think it's also about building a culture. It's so important at the start of a journey, when you're a relatively small number of people that's going to expand quickly, is you get the basis of the culture right, particularly in the sales team, which Alex is doing a brilliant job on, and in all the other facets as well. So
Charles touched on it earlier, but I think, you know, customer service has got to be number one for us, both in terms of the potential purchasers we're dealing with on a daily basis, but also our clients. Like, we're a small growing business, and every single client for us is absolutely crucial, and we need to give them the best service possible in what's been a more challenging period than previous years. So it's really crucial that we're giving them everything we can.
Chaps, well, thank you very much for your time. One final question. Where would you buy in London at the moment? Either land, I suppose, land for you, Charles, and you chaps have got to do a new home, as it were. Where would you buy? What area?
Well, from a land perspective, I think it's all about where you're going to see added value over the next 4 to 5 years. So an area that we're particularly keen on at the moment is Brent, and in particular the Wilston part of Brent. So that is an area that's got to the east, the very affluent suburbs of Queen's Park and also Kilburn. And then to the west, it's got the regeneration happening at Wembley, and to the north, it's got the story talking about Brent Cross. So it's surrounded by regeneration and established value, but as an area, it's probably lagged behind a number of other areas in London. So I think it's a really interesting growth play to come there. There's still some value to be had down there, and it's somewhere that we expect to change out of all recognition in the next 5 to 10 years.
Alex, Rory?
As a Fulham resident, I'm very envious of anybody that's going to be living on the Crossrail line, so that would probably be my target to purchase at one of those, near one of those stations.
Yeah, I don't disagree with Alex, but I do think that, you know, with Crossrail 2 becoming more and more realistic over the long, long term, there's some amazing value, particularly around some areas like Tottenham, etc. But in general, it's just focusing on infrastructure growth, and I think that's number one.
Chaps, thanks for your time.
Awesome. Thank you.